As has already been mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're glad that you're here. And we hope that you will feel comfortable to come back. We're happy to try to provide a service where we can come together to worship God, to be encouraged, to be built up, to be edified. And we hope that you feel that way when you come each week, and that you'll want to return in order to worship God. Have you ever worked for something really hard in your life, and because you worked hard for that, you protected that, you wanted to hold on to that? Maybe you worked hard to buy a home or to buy a car, and you're very protective of that, you want to take care of that investment. Maybe you have worked hard at work, at your job, to show up on time and to be responsible and do your job so that you can get a raise, or you might be working for a certain promotion that would help you in some way, and you've worked really hard for that and you don't want to throw that away. Before we moved to Clarksville, we lived out in the country over near Cedar Hill, Tennessee, and we lived out in the woods, and part of our driveway went down a slope down to the side and into the garage. And every time it rained really hard in the springtime or the summer storms, there would just be a gush of water rushing down that driveway. And when it got done, much of that gravel had been washed out. And the boys didn't like it, but they knew that I was going to say to them when that rain was over with, "Boys, let's go out there with rakes and shovels and pull all of that gravel back up the driveway." I don't know how many times we did that in the years that we were there. If we didn't do it, we would lose our driveway. You will have so many ruts and gullies and washouts that there just won't be a driveway there. And I didn't want to lose my driveway, so you have to do the work to hold on to that. And maybe you have done that. Maybe it's schooling. Maybe you have worked hard to get good grades and to go through your schooling and advance, and you don't want to just throw that away. There are a number of areas of our life probably where we've worked hard for something and now we want to hold on to it. And that's actually a biblical principle. If you'll turn with me to the little book of 2 John, we're going to take a little book that has a very big lesson in it. Probably one of the most important lessons that we could consider in all of the New Testament. And that is taken from verse 8. Some versions read, "Do not lose what we have worked for." That's our admonition this morning, brethren and friends, and I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that something from God's Word will encourage us to obey the gospel or encourage us to remain faithful in the gospel. Do not lose what we have worked for. Maybe you have worked for a number of things and you want to hold on to that. The same spiritual principle is found here in verse 8 with regard to our life in Christ, where John writes, "Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward." John is teaching a very important principle, and that is hold on to what you've worked for. And we want to consider that this morning. We don't need to lose what we have. This principle was actually stated by Jesus when he was talking about the parable of the sower back in Matthew chapter 13. This is a principle that is found other places in Scripture. We're there talking about the parable of the sower, and specifically those who don't want to learn more of God's Word. They have a hardened heart. Jesus says in verse 12, "For whosoever has," this is the person who accepts the Word of God and wants more of it, "whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have in abundance." If we want the Word of God, he's explaining why he teaches in parables. Because some people really don't want the Word of God. Other people do. And parables will actually sift and separate people who really want the Word of God from those who don't. So he's answering this question, why do you teach in parables? Some people want the Word of God and they will get more of it. But whosoever has not, this is the person who doesn't want more of the Word of God, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Look at that. You might have something, but even what you have is going to be taken away because you don't hold on to that and you don't want more. That principle is stated by Jesus, and that's the very principle here that is warned about here in 2 John verse 8. We'll come to 2 John in a minute, but it's a warning. Look to yourselves. You need to pay attention to your life and hold on to what we have worked for. Some versions, because of the manuscript, say what you have worked for. The point would be the same. We work for things in our life as a Christ, in our life in Christ, spiritually speaking, working for being a faithful Christian. Let's hold on to those things. But this principle is also exemplified by the Jews. If you'll turn with me there in Matthew chapter 21, they had so much. They had so much given to them. Going back to the law of Moses and even beyond to the call of Abraham, they had over 1,500 years of a life with God and God's Word and God's law and all of the prophets and all of the preaching and all of the blessings and all of the things that God had done for them and bringing them out of Egypt and into Canaan land and giving them a kingdom and bringing them back from captivity and all those things. And then he gives them Jesus for some 3 years. And what do they do with it? Well, Jesus gives the parable of the wicked husbandman, and they, the Jews, they are the wicked husbandmen. They don't want God and his son. They don't want the ones that God has sent, like John the Baptist, verse 34. And they don't want the son, verse 38. They don't want Jesus. And so in verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You don't want it. And then just a few chapters later, he's going to say, I was with you like a chicken trying to gather her brood under her wings, but you would not. Therefore, your house is left unto you desolate, and the well-known prediction of the fall of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. It will be taken away from you and given to someone else. And we know from the book of Acts that that's going to be given to people, both Jews and Gentiles, who will come and accept Jesus Christ. But you had so much, and you just rejected this and you rejected that, and now it's going to be taken away from you. We've got to hold on to what we've worked for. And so coming back now to the little epistle of 2 John, what is going on here is John is saying you have to engage in self-inspection. Some versions say, look to yourselves. You are responsible, friends, this morning. I am responsible to do this. No one can do this for us. We have to engage in self-inspection. We have to engage in self-guardianship. We have to hold on to what we've worked for in Christ. We have to engage in self-preservation. Hold on to it. That gravel on that driveway wasn't going to just stay there by itself. I wish it would. Then I wouldn't have to get the boys out there and rake it back up. I have to keep that going. And that's the same in our personal lives. We can get help from others, and we often do, but you and I ultimately are responsible to engage in holding on to what we've worked for. John is saying that we need to look after and protect our soul and our spiritual self and our spiritual interests. No one can ultimately do this for us. And we've been baptized into Christ and we've come a long way. We've got to hold on to that. And this is the very thing that often causes some to fall away from Christ, is this verse right here. They won't look to themselves. They won't hold on to what they've worked for. And so the scripture reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 3, that we need to hold fast our confidence firm unto the end. John is suggesting here that there is a danger of inattention if we don't watch ourselves. Look at the verse right before it. One of the problems that these Christians were facing were false teachers who were going around. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have worked for. One of the immediate problems was false teachers going around. They can take you away from the truth. They can take you away from what we've worked for. Since the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 up to this present day, we have worked for a lot. Don't let some false teacher come by and take it away. And the same thing if you look at verses 9 through 11. Someone who's coming and they're not bringing the doctrine of Christ, don't have anything to do with them. They're not bringing the doctrine of Christ. You can go back at the beginning of the chapter, at the beginning of the book, 2 John 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whether an individual family or a local church, whom I love in truth, not I only, but also they that know the truth, for the truth's sake, which abides in us, and it shall be with us forever, provided that you look to yourselves. You've got the truth, but you've got to hold on to that. Grace, mercy, and peace shall be with us, but you've got to hold on to that. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of thy children walking in truth, even as we receive commandment from the Father. Let's keep walking in the truth. Be mindful, verses 9 through 11, there are people out there that aren't teaching the truth. And you've got the truth. I, John, gave you the truth. And you're walking in it, which means daily obedience, daily practice. Truth is not theoretical and hypothetical. Truth is to be applied in our lives where we walk in it and we obey it each and every day. And you've got to keep doing that because these deceivers are out there. Verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. You've got to keep doing that. If you don't guard yourselves, you're going to leave the truth. If you don't guard yourselves, you're going to stop loving one another. If you don't guard yourselves, you're going to take off with this false doctrine in verse 7 that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, which was a form of Gnosticism. Don't go after that. This is love, that we should walk after His commandments. This is the same thing that John said in 1 John, that the love of God is keeping His commandments. This is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. And then this admonition, don't lose what we've worked for. So let's look this morning at this concept and let's apply it in some areas of our life. I hope this morning we will be encouraged to hold on to what we've worked for. Do not lose what you've gained in Bible knowledge. You've been studying your Bible. You've been reading your Bible. Some here have been raised on the Bible from their youth, reading the Bible in their home, and Bible-based sermons and Bible-based classes and daily Bible reading. Don't lose what you've gained in your Bible knowledge. Keep studying. Keep reading. Keep learning. Some will, in their early part of their life, learn the Word of God and gain knowledge, and then they'll just let it go. We know from Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 that there arose a generation who knew not God, and the very next verse says that they went into apostasy and idolatry. One of the seeds of apostasy, and maybe I can preach on that. I heard somebody speak on that recently. It's a very good message. This is one of the seeds of apostasy, not learning about God and knowing His Word. They knew it before. They knew it in the days of Joshua. And even sometime after Joshua, the text says. But there came a time when somebody, Israelite parents, are not learning the law of Moses and passing it on to their children, and they've just thrown it all down the drain. And they go haywire in what we call the book of Judges. Just doing all kinds of sinful things. Why? They've lost what they worked for. And in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 8, again it comes up, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not because they couldn't learn, but because they didn't want to keep learning. In the days of Josiah, it's so bad that the book of the law is lost in the house of God. The book of God is lost in the house of God by the people of God. How do we get to that point? Because we're not being careful to hold on to what we've worked for. So, brethren, let me encourage you. Don't lose what you have gained in your Bible knowledge. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5 that it can get so bad that where he's talking to Christians, wherein you should be a teacher, you have someone to teach you again. You have the need that someone would teach you again the first principles of the rudiments of the oracles of God. You've got to have somebody teach you the basics again. Why? We're losing that Bible knowledge that we've had before. So keep that up. Don't lose what we've worked for in Bible knowledge. Well, how do we do that? Well, we keep reading, we keep studying, we keep learning, and we keep growing. Do not lose what you have gained in the talents that you're using to serve the Lord. We remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and the parable of the pounds in Luke 19. The old principle, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Let me encourage you, brethren, that you've used your talents here at Warfield Boulevard and wherever you are. You've used your talents to serve. Well, I'm going to volunteer for this and I'm going to volunteer for that. Keep doing that. We don't want to spiritually retire where we say, well, years ago I used to teach Bible class, but not anymore. Years ago I used to volunteer for this, but not anymore. Keep using your talents. This guy, out of fear, Matthew 25:29, said, well, I'm just going to bury my talent. He had talents just like the other men did. But because of fear, he did not want to get out there and work it and multiply it and use it. And what does the text say? What does the master say? Take it away from him. Take it away from him. And give it to another who is worthy. And so when we don't hold on to our talents, it ends up being given to somebody else. We don't want to be a member of the church that just simply rests on past talents or past involvement or past volunteering, but current and present service to the Lord. Don't lose what you've gained in the talents. And all of the things that you have learned to do in the church and have volunteered to do in the church, and you've done it before, and we need all of us to continue doing those things till our dying day. And I know that as we get older, a lot of times we are limited in certain ways, and we may be limited health-wise or physical-wise, but we can still use things that we have to teach others and help others and volunteer to do for others. The big word that's used today is pivot. We might have to pivot. We might have to pivot and do something a little different as we get older, but we can still do things. Don't lose what you've gained in your talents. Let me encourage you not to lose what you've gained in fighting temptation. There will be times where you will say no to the devil. No, 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 no. Don't lose that. Don't let all of those past successes be lost and then now, well, I just cave in and give in now. Don't do that. You've done so well. And Paul makes this very point. He says, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. But look at what he says. He wants to be careful that after doing all of that, he doesn't practice it to the point where it says, lest by any means, after that I've preached to others, I myself should be rejected. I don't want to be doing all of this stuff, and it keeps me on track in running what we call this Christian race, and then I don't keep up to it all the way to the end, and then I find myself, well, now I'm the one that's not finishing the race. And then just a few verses later, after giving some Old Testament examples of people who did not resist temptation, he says in chapter 10 and verse 12, the same context, wherefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Often we will resist the devil, we will say no, we will do really well with that. And then there will come that time where it's right there. Don't lose what you've gained and what you've worked for. In the past, I walked away. Well, keep walking away. In the past, I said no, and I did really well with that, and I walked away really well. Just keep doing that. You've gained so much in fighting temptation. Keep doing that. Don't lose what you've gained in your influence. You're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And when you go to work, you have an influence. And when you go to school, you have a great influence. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Does anybody remember what Nathan said to David with regard to a result of his sin with Bathsheba? One was his child would die, but do you remember the second thing that he said about that? One sin, one indiscretion, one, by the way, goes back to our temptation when he saw that she was beautiful and so forth. He went and took her. One case of adultery. What did it do to David? What did Nathan say? Brethren, you've worked hard to have an influence. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 22 and verse 1 that a good name is rather to be had than riches. A good name is your character and your influence and your reputation. And you've worked hard to maintain that in such a way as to be a good example to others. Don't let one thing come along where you throw it all away for that. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 then, Nathan said to David, what did he say? Jehovah also has put away thy sin, thou shalt die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Jehovah to blaspheme. In addition to the child dying, that's the next statement, you've given an opportunity for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Oh, David, David, the mighty king, the king of Israel. And they're supposed to be following God. Look at what David did. He went out and committed adultery. I thought the Israelites were supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles and show us the right way. Their king, the guy at the very top, is committing adultery. You see how that would work? All for one act. All for one act. Have you ever known of anybody that threw away their character, their influence for one thing? One word, one statement, one activity. You've worked hard to guard your influence. Don't throw that all away. And that's something that is good for myself and for others who are in leadership roles and roles where the public eye is on you and roles where people are watching you. It is a reminder, but for all of us. Don't lose what you've gained. Don't lose what you've gained in your growth. We grow when we become a Christian. We grow, and sometimes early on that growth just shoots up because we're excited about being a Christian. Don't throw that away. I've become more faithful in my service to God, and I've been reading my Bible more, and I've been volunteering more. And we just got through reading the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. There were no works that I have found that have been perfected or made complete. They had a name that they were living, but they were spiritually dead. And when it came to their works, they had not completed those things, implying that they had started some things but not finished it. We're just keeping house. We got Church of Christ on the sign, or name that we're living, but we're spiritually dead, just going through the motions and stuff. And they had stopped growing, and they had not finished works. They had not completed things for God. I'm sure we can look back in our life and we can see growth that we have made. Don't throw that away. We've worked hard for that. Don't throw that away. Do not lose what you've gained in raising your children. Sometimes early on, we are really idealistic about raising our children, and we want to follow the rules, and we want to work hard, and we want to do it right. But after a while, it gets tiring, and so we're like, oh, this is so hard. And we just give up, and later in life, about the teenage years, or maybe beyond, that we just like, well, I don't want to do it anymore. And it reminds me of Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, who would not restrain his children, who were out of, his sons were spiritually off the rails, committing fornication at the tabernacle. Really? And he wouldn't do anything about it. Parenting is challenging. We're going to talk about some parenting tonight, Lord willing. Parenting is challenging, but it's a great reward. But we've got to stick with it. And you've got to stick with it in the hard times. And when they get older, that's when the challenging times come along, you know. But stick with it and work with it all the way through and guide our children and raise our children on biblical principles all the way through as long as we have them. But some will start off great at the beginning and then it just, you know. Let me encourage our new parents and parents-to-be and those who are parents, and maybe some of us have influence with regard to our grandchildren now, that we've got to stick with that all the way through as much as possible. Don't lose what we've worked for, even though it might get challenging and hard later on. And with regard to family, don't lose what we've gained in honoring our parents. Many of us here today were raised by Christian parents who worked really hard to get us here. I wish my parents were still here. Some of you are sitting in this auditorium with your parents, and that's a great thing. I still wish I had my parents. But think about what your parents have done for you and the work that they put in, not just physically, but spiritually, to raise you the right way. And what happens is, as we get a little bit older and we get our independence and our free will, then we say to mom and dad, nah, I don't need that anymore. The proverb writer talks about a generation. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 11. There's a generation who will not respect their parents. They will not follow the important principles that they're trying to lay down. And let me encourage any child, and I don't just mean young children. There are some children here who have their elderly parents here. That we always appreciate the work that they've done for us. There is a generation that curse their father and bless not their mother. They've worked hard for us. Look at all of the times they toted us to church services. Look at all of the times that they made us get our Bible class lesson. Look at all of the times that they wanted us to do this or do that for the Lord. And then we get a little bit older and we, I'm just going to chunk all that. Let's not do that. We've gained so much because of our parents. Let's work to hold on to that. Let's appreciate that, knowing that they did it for our good. Do not lose what you've gained in meaningful prayer. When we first learn how to pray, it's meaningful and heartfelt. And if we're not careful, it just slumps into a ritual and a routine. And Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for just going through the motions in the Sermon on the Mount. These heard for their prayers and their vain repetition. Have you ever, this point here and the next point kind of go well together. Have you ever known of any brethren that early on worked hard to be faithful and loving and caring and meaningful and genuine, but after time, life embittered them and they just lose it. All that they've worked for. Don't lose what you've gained in meaningful prayer. Don't lose what you've gained in joyful living. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we're happy. Benjamin just sent me a text this morning. They had another baptism this morning. Let's pray for Benjamin and the church there and the new converts there. They're happy. They come up out of that water smiling. But what happens after a few years and a few decades? Well, we've been filled with bitterness. Hebrews 12:15. The Hebrew writer says, be careful that a root of bitterness does not spring up in you and thereby defile the son. Yeah. We started off happy. We started off committed. We started off wanting to serve the Lord. We were at every service. We were reading our Bible. We were happy. But now we're bitter. And now our prayers are just going through the motions. Let's not lose what we've gained in those good things that we did in our early years and when we were new converts and when we were just serving the Lord. Let's not lose that. That's a very good thing. And don't let life and the devil and whatever might be coming in cause us to lose that. Literally to destroy that. We're going to hold on to it. Because it's something that we've worked for that is a part of being a faithful Christian. Don't lose what you've gained in a good conscience. This is the same point that we've just been making. A Christian is baptized into Christ and you can tell they have a good conscience, a clean conscience. They're honest, they're loving. They're innocent. They just want to do what's right. But after several years, they get hardened and embittered and mean and problematic. And Paul talks about, really, 1st and 2nd Timothy. He has some of the most, those two books have much to say about the conscience. And Timothy had a good and pure conscience and his mother and grandmother did. And he talks about the conscience a lot. And it's in this book, 1 Timothy 4:2, where he says, some have a seared conscience. What happens? Well, I don't care about the Word of God. And it's in the context of following false teaching and even coming up with your own man-made rules and laws and so forth. I don't want the Word of God anymore. I don't like the Word of God. I've got my hardened conscience. It didn't start off that way. Christians start off happy. They start off meaningful. They start off with a pure conscience. That's what drove them to the waters of baptism. I just want my conscience to be clean. And they're innocent and honest and open. But they let life bum them out. And they experience this and they experience that and they lose it. Let's not do that. Do not lose what you've gained in your good works. Paul writes to Titus and he says that some can profess to know God, but with regard to every good work, they are reprobate. You have done so many good works in the past. Keep doing that. And like I said before, as we get older, maybe we have to pivot and shift. And maybe physically I can't do such and such anymore, but I can do such and such. And let's do that. And in this very book where Paul says that every good work can be reprobate, it's in this very same book, if you turn over to chapter 3, really, chapter 2, verse 14, zealous of good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, ready unto good works. Chapter 3, verse 8, careful to maintain good works. And verse 16, learn to maintain good works. It's in this same book where Paul says some are reprobate unto every good work. You need to maintain these things and be zealous for these things. If not, you're going to slump into this chapter 1, verse 16, where you're just reprobate unto every good work. I'm not going to do any of that. You can't count on me to do that. Don't call on me to do that. Paul says, maintain it and keep it going. And look at chapter 3, verse 14. For necessary uses. There are many important things in the Lord's church today that we need to be doing. Don't lose what you've gained in those things. And then last of all, of course, it all that we've talked about this morning comes to a head here, and that is our salvation. We've been baptized into Christ, and we've experienced so many good things. We've worked not in the sense of earning our salvation, but in the sense of obeying the gospel. We've worked hard to become a Christian. Don't throw that away. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 6 and verse 4 that some were enlightened and they tasted of the heavenly gift and they were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away. Don't work so hard to become a Christian that now I'm just going to chunk it. I've put that old life behind me and I learned the gospel and I was baptized into Christ. I'm going to keep this thing going. I've worked for this. I'm not going to just chunk it. In chapter 10, turn with me there, he brings up the same matter of brethren falling away. And one thing he says with regard to that is, don't forsake your own assembling together. You've worked hard. Our parents brought us to each service, or you've learned to come to each service. Keep coming. That's the very point. Some had made a habit of not coming anymore, and they were going down this path of losing their salvation. And he describes it in the same chapter. If you come on down to verse 29, he describes it as trodding underfoot the Son of God. We need to take assembling very seriously because that helps us to stay faithful. And some were trodding underfoot the Son of God. And you come on down then to verse 35. Here's the admonition. And here's our admonition this morning. Cast not away, therefore, your boldness. Don't throw it all away. 2 John 8. Don't lose what we've worked for. And if we will keep going, what did John say? That you may receive what? I'm going to close on this point. What did John say there at the end of verse 8? That you will receive the what? The full reward. That you lose not the things which we have worked for, but that you receive a full reward. That is ultimately our home in heaven. We have a full reward of things that we can experience now in this Christian life and ultimately our home in heaven. Let's go out this morning and look to ourselves and hold on to what we've worked for. Young people, hold on to what your parents have worked for. Parents, hold on to those good things that you've already started in raising your children. In our Bible knowledge and in our good works and in our talents and in our reputation and influence and all the things that we've talked about this morning. Hold on to it. That's when you get the full reward. If we can help you this morning to name Christ and put Him on in baptism, we would encourage you to come. If you need to begin this life of working for what is important in life, and that is being a Christian, let us help you to do that. If you need to come back as a child of God, let us help you to do that. Have you ever worked for hard things and then held on to that? Do the same thing in your Christian life. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?